بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the three fundamental principles, and we have reached the point where the author رحمه الله said وكل أمة بعث الله إليها رسولا من نوح إلى محمد وكل أمة بعث الله إليها رسولا من نوح إلى محمد يأمرهم بعبادة الله وحده وينهاهم عن عبادة الطاغوت، والدليل قوله تعالى ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وأولهم نوح عليه السلام وآخرهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the belief and the messengers, this is what the author now is talking about. Allah sent a messenger to every nation, from Nuh until Muhammad, commanding them to worship Allah alone, and forbidding them from the worship of At-Taghut. And we will explain the meaning of At-Taghut, but generally the Taghut is everything which is worshipped besides Allah. And then he gave the proof from Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 36. قال الله تعالى وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We sent a messenger to every nation, ordering them that they should worship Allah alone and avoid الطاغوت, all that which is worshipped besides Allah. Now, and the first of them, وَأَوَّلُهُمْ نُوحٌ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, and the first of them is Nuh عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, and the last of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the evidence which the author cited is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 163. قال الله تعالى إنا أوحينا إليك كما أوحينا إلى نوح والنبيين من بعده. Verily we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a messenger with revelation, just as we sent revelation to Nuh and the messengers after him. Now, so the belief in the messengers is one of the pillars of Iman. The belief in the messengers is one of the pillars of Iman. And it's inevitable for the person to believe in the messengers, all of them, from the first of them to the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who denies a messenger, a single messenger, then he is a kafir in all of them. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nisa 4, 150 and 151. إن الذين يكفرون بالله ورسله ويريدون أن يفرقوا بين الله ورسله ويقولون نؤمن ببعض ونكفر ببعض ويريدون أن يتخذوا بين ذلك سبيلا أولئك هم الكافرون حقا وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. Verily those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and wish to make distinction between Allah and His messengers by believing in Allah and disbelieving in His messengers, saying we believe in some but reject others and wish to adopt a way in between, they are in truth disbelievers. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating torment. So it's a must to believe in all the messengers, those whom Allah named in His book and those whom He did not name, because the messengers are many. And that's why it came in the hadith that their number is 100,000 and 24,000, and that the messengers from them is 315 in number. So there are many messengers. And we must believe in all of them. Now, the evidence that Nuh is their first, is the first messenger, is in the verse, Inna awhayna ilayka, we have sent you, O Muhammad. This is an address to whom? To the Prophet. Then Allah said, Kama awhayna ila Nuh. We're talking about 4:163. We have sent to you, we have sent you, this is an address to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah said, Kama awhayna ila Nuhin. Just as we sent revelation to Noah and the prophets after him. And then Allah named some of them. We also inspired, we sent a revelation to Ibrahim, to Ismail, to Ishaq, to Yaqub, Al-Asbat, Isa, Ayyub, Yunus, Harun, Sulaiman, and Dawood we gave as Zabur. Allah gave some of the names of the messengers in this verse. And He named also other messengers in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 84-86. قال الله تعالى وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِ دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وأيوب ويوسف وموسى وهارون. And we bestowed upon him Ishaq and Yaqub. Each of them we guided. And before him we guided Noah. And among his progeny, Dawood, David, Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, and Harun. Thus do we reward the good doers. And we bestowed upon him Ishaq and Yaqub. Each of them we guided. And before him we guided Noah and among his progeny, Dawood, Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, and Harun. So the first of them is, the first of the messengers is Noah alayhi salam. Because Allah stated, وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِن بَعْدِهِ, and the prophets after him. Furthermore, it is established in the Sahih, in the hadith of the intercession, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, as well in Sahih Muslim, that the people will come to Nuh and say to him, you are the first messenger whom Allah sent to the people of the earth. You are the first messenger, it is stated explicitly, whom Allah sent to the people of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to the people of the earth during his time. There was no messenger after Noah. And from this we know the error of the historians who say that Idris alayhi salam came before Noah. And this is a historic error by historians who claim that Idris alayhi salam came before Noah. However, what is apparent is that Idris was from the prophets of Bani Israel, of the children of Israel. And the last and final prophet was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah the Most High stated in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:40. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last end of the prophets. So there is no prophet after him. Anyone who claims prophethood after him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a liar and an unbeliever, kafir, who has apostatized from Islam. So the first was Noah alayhi salam. Allah sent him to his people. When did he send him? When they exaggerated and went into excessiveness concerning the righteous. Concerning the righteous. People from the time of Adam and 10 centuries later were on Tawheed, on pure Tawheed. When the people of Noah came, there were amongst them righteous people. After the death of these righteous people, the people grieved a lot for their loss. Shaitan, wal'ayadu billah, took the opportunity. And he said to them, inspired them, make images of these righteous people. Make images. And post them in your circles. So that when you see these images of these righteous, you will remember their status, you will remember their conditions, their situations, and then you will be motivated accordingly to do the worship. So they went ahead and they made these images of those righteous who died. And they took these images and put them in their majalis, in their circles where they sit. In the beginning, these images were not worshipped. Why? Because there were scholars present, people of knowledge amongst them. People who knew the Tawheed and called people for it and denied the shirk. When these people of knowledge died, after their death and after the first generation passed away, a new generation came and the scholars were dead. Shaitan came whispering again and said, your fathers did not post these images except that they worshipped them, and it was by them that they were that rain was sent upon them. So he, Shaitan, beautified the worship of these images, and so they worship them besides Allah, and then shirk began on earth, and then shirk began on earth. So Allah sent his prophet messenger Noah alayhi salam, inviting them to Allah Azza wa Jal, the most mighty, the most magnificent, calling them to Tawheed, the deen of their fathers, the deen of their father Adam alayhi salam. But they disdained and were arrogant, and they were arrogant. And they said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Nuh, 71:23. وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. And they have said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you have wad, nor suwa, nor yaghuth, nor ya'uq, nor nasr. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said concerning these names, wad, suwa, yaghuth, ya'uq, and nasr, he said, هَذِهِ أَسْمَاءُ رِجَالٍ صَالِحِينَ. These are names of righteous men, of whom they took images and posted in their majalis, and that led them eventually that they worshipped them besides Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah. So when Noah alayhi salam came to them and forbade them to worship these images and commanded them to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, so they said, you shall not leave your gods. Don't obey Nuh. And they continued on their kufr and disdainfulness and haughtiness. This is the first shirk that occurred on earth. And the cause of it was images. The cause of it was images. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said the most intense in punishment on the day of resurrection will be the image makers, as in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said also in the hadith reported in Al-Bukhari, those who make these images, they will be punished on the day of resurrection, and it will be said to them, أَحْيُوا مَا خَلَقْتُمْ. Give life to that which you have created. They will be commanded to blow the soul in these images. This is what? Just to show their inability. And this is a form of torture, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, to them. Why? Because the image making is one means that lead to shirk, as occurred to the people of Noah. So the first messenger was Noah, and the last and final end of the prophets and messengers is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all the revealed messages ended with the message revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and therefore there will be no prophet sent after him until the day of resurrection. However, his sharia continues until the establishment of the hour, and his deen remains until the establishment of the hour. So whoever claims prophethood after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he is a disbeliever, and whoever believes in him himself is a disbeliever, because there is no prophet after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Many people claimed prophethood after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah exposed them and exposed their lies. And from the last ones whom we remember is Al-Qadiani, Ghulam Ahmad Al-Qadiani, who in the beginning claimed knowledge and worship. Then he claimed that he is Isa ibn Maryam. Then afterwards he claimed prophethood. And now we know that there are followers known as the Qadianis and the Muslim scholars imputed kufr upon them, declared them kafirs, a sect that left Islam. And they are outcast wherever they go, walhamdulillah. And their affair is in decline, walhamdulillah, due to the efforts, due to the efforts of exposing them by Ahlul Sunnah, walhamdulillah, first and foremost, who enabled Ahlul Sunnah to expose them wherever they are. And the Prophet ﷺ foretold us that the establishment of the hour, or the hour will not be established until there will come liars. قَرِيبًا مِنْ ثَلَاثِينَ, close to 30. All of them claiming that, or each one of them claiming that he is a messenger of Allah. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So there will be many, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes them and unravels their affairs and puts them in humility, in humiliation rather. Anyone who believes them is a kafir, because if he believes them, then he belies Allah and his messenger and the consensus of the Muslims. The author, rahimahullah, said that وَكُلُّ أُمَّةٍ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ رَسُولًا, and Allah sent a messenger to every nation. Why? To establish the hujjah, the proof, lest they say no warner or no one who came and brought us glad tidings. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly stated this in Surah Al-Isra 17:15, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, and we never punish until we have sent a messenger to give warning. So every nation of the past nations received a messenger, or had a messenger sent amongst them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Fatir 35:24, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ, and there never was a nation but a warner had passed among them. But we must know what is the call of the messengers. The call of the messengers, all of them, from the first to the last and final, one of them is the da'wah of Tawheed. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, the verse which the author referred to in Surah Al-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا, what's the message of the messenger then? أَنْ اِعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ, and we have sent among every ummah a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and avoid ta'ghut. Ta'ghut is everything that is worship besides Allah, and we will talk about its kinds. So Allah said, وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ, avoid ta'ghut. The word ta'ghut is derived from طُغْيَان, and طُغْيَان means to go beyond the bounds, beyond the bounds, beyond the limits. طُغْيَان means to go beyond the bounds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated concerning the water, in Surah Al-Haqqa 69:11. Inna lamma tagha, tagha, tagha. Inna lamma tagha al-ma'u hamalnakum fil jariya. When the water rose beyond its limits in Noah flood, tagha, tagha, beyond its limits, went beyond its limits.
Yeah.
We carried you in the ark. And the best explanation of the use of the term taghut is what Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned. He said a taghut is, quote, anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds. Anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed, or followed. Again, anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond bounds, beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed, or followed. What he means by someone worshipped, obeyed, or followed is other than the righteous and the pious people. Other than the righteous and the pious people. So therefore the righteous are not taghuts. Even if the evildoers coming after their death or their deaths began to direct worship to them, or if they are followed or obeyed by the people. But the idols which are worshipped besides Allah are taghut. And graves and tombs worshipped are tawaghit, taghuts. The evil scholars, those who call to misguidance and unbelief, or call to innovation, or to making lawful that which Allah has forbidden, or forbidding that which Allah has made lawful, and those who presented, and those who present it as being acceptable to those in authority, that they should abandon the Sharia of Islam in favor of man-made laws, then they are taghuts, since they have gone beyond their bounds. Since they have gone beyond their bounds. Why? Because the scholar's limit is that he should be one who follows that which the Prophet ﷺ came with. Because the scholars are truly the inheritors of the prophets. They inherit from them with regard to their ummah in knowledge, in action, in manners, in their call, and in teaching. So if they go beyond this limit and began to present it, present the unlawful, or present the man-made laws as being acceptable to the rulers, that they can move away from Sharia of Islam and favor these laws, then these scholars who do that are themselves taghuts. Because they have gone beyond what it was binding upon them to restrict themselves to, that they should follow the Sharia. Now, as to the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, when he said, anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed, or followed. What does it mean here, obeyed? or one obeyed. What is meant by that, is those rulers who are obeyed due to that being required by Sharia, or due to something decreed necessitating that. So the Sharia requires that rulers be obeyed if they command that which is not contrary to the command of Allah and His Messenger. Then in this case, they must be obeyed. And in this case, the description of Tawud does not apply to them. And the people should hear and obey them. Obedience to those in authority in this situation is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this, when we carry out what the ruler has ordered from those matters in which he must be obeyed, we should bear in mind that we are therefore worshipping Allah, the Most High, through this act, and drawing closer to Him through this obedience. So the call of the messengers, all of them, is a call to Tawheed, and to single Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in worship, and to call people to keep away from shirk. This is the call of the messengers. Then after the Tawheed comes the Sharia, the laws, from what is haram, what is halal, and the details of Sharia may differ with respect to nations, and may differ with respect to the needs of the nations, of the respective nations. And Allah abrogates of it what He wishes, in accordance with His wisdom. Then, finally, all of these laws of the previous nations were abrogated by the Sharia of Islam. Halal, haram, rulings, worships, commands, prohibitions. As to the origin, which is Tawheed, there is no ikhtilaf, there is no difference regarding it, and there is no abrogation regarding it. This is one deen, the deen of all the messengers. One deen. And the deen of Tawheed means worshipping Allah according to what He legislated in each period of time, in each period of time. So if what is legislated is abrogated, then the matter moves to the abrogating Sharia. So whoever insists on the former abrogated one and leaves the abrogating Sharia, then he becomes a kafir, because the abrogated deen is no more a deen after it being abrogated. And that's why the Sharia of Islam abrogated all the Sharia before. So whoever stayed on Judaism, on Yahudiya, or Nasraniya, Christianity, after the advent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam message, then he's a kafir, because he is acting on a deen that is abrogated. Its time has finished. Back to the definition of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah regarding at-Tawud. He said, at-Tawud is anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed, or followed. The servant has a limit, a bound, a due bound, because he's a servant. Allah set bounds for him, and he should restrict himself to these bounds. If he transgresses them, goes beyond them, then he becomes a taghut. So anyone who goes beyond the limits set by Allah to his slaves and commands them, then if he goes beyond these due bounds, then he is a taghut. So if he disobeys Allah and goes beyond his bounds and transgresses, then he is called taghut. So anyone who goes beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, and anyone who ascribes partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a taghut. The mushrik is taghut, because he transgressed the bounds set by Allah and then worshipped someone besides Allah, diverting or directing the worship to someone who does not deserve it, is taghut. And anyone who is worshipped and being pleased by that, while pleased by being worshipped, is taghut. The one worshipped by people and he is happy for that, pleased for that, is a taghut, like Fir'aun, like An-Namrud, like Mashayikh al-Turuq al-Sufiyya, like the Sufi sheikhs, the excessive, who have followers worshipping them, and they, the shuyukh, pleased with that, or invite people to that. This is taghut in worship. This is taghut in worship. Also, anyone who, whom the servant goes beyond the bounds where someone is worshipped, obeyed, or followed. The followed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all the creation to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it is not permissible for anyone to follow other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So anyone who follows other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and claims that this is permissible, then he is taghut. Why? Because he followed other than the Messenger. The Messenger whom Allah commands that he must be followed. So the following is particular to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As to others from the scholars or the callers, these are followed if they follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore the one followed is the Messenger. As to those from scholars and callers, they are conveyors, proclaimers only. They follow the truth, and whatever is true in terms of their following of the Messenger being correct, we follow them on that. And where they differ, then it is not permissible to follow them on that. For example, these shuyukh of Sufism, their followers and their so-called murids follow them in that which is not an obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, they say, we don't need the Messenger. We take from the one whom the Messenger took from. We take from Allah directly. They say the Messenger takes from Allah by a medium, Jibreel alayhi salam, through Jibreel, while we take from Allah directly by their so-called kashf. And they say, you take your deen narrated from one, from a dead, upon the authority of a dead, upon the authority of a dead, while we narrate our deen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they claim that their shuyukh have direct linkage with Allah, and they take from Him directly. This is going beyond the limits. This is tughyan, going beyond the due bounds. This is transgression. This is taghut. In fact, these are the heads of taghut. Wal'ayadu billah. Because we have no way to Allah Azza wa Jal except by following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to this effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as in Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verses 31-32, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ سَيْءُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ to mankind. If you really love Allah, then follow me. If you really love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Will forgive you of your sins. And Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. But if they turn away, then Allah does not like the disbelievers. So the one who follows other than the Messenger, then he is considered taghut. And also, the one who calls to be followed and says to the people, I will give you the command from Allah directly. This is the greatest of taghut in the world. This is the greatest taghut in the world. Then Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed or followed, obeyed. Obeyed. We talked about the two, and then there remains the third, obeyed. The obedience is to Allah and to His Messenger in that which Allah has made lawful or unlawful. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nisa in 4:59, يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. All who you believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And those of you Muslims who are in authority, and if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger. If you believe in Allah and the last day, and this is or that is better and more suitable for final determination. So the halal is what Allah made halal. The haram is what Allah made haram. And there is no one to share Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahleel and in tahreem. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ruling upon the one who makes tahleel and tahreem. Or the one who obeys those who make tahleel and tahreem with the conviction, with the same conviction. He obeys them with the same conviction. This is halal, this is halal. This is haram, this is haram. Then he is a mushrik. This is the shirk of obedience. Remember, the shirk of obedience, whereby the one who makes tahleel and tahreem and others follow him on the conviction. Because there may be also followers who follow because of desire, not because of conviction. Those who follow on desire, as Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah mentioned, they don't commit the major shirk in this. But those who follow them with knowledge and with conviction, that this is haram and they make it haram. This is halal, they make it halal. Those who follow them in this themselves are on major shirk. So we have to be careful, because some sects in our times abuse these meanings, and they say whoever obeys the mushrik or the kafir, then he automatically goes out of Islam. And since these modern Khawarij of our times declare generally that all the rulers are kafirs, therefore anyone who works in the authority of these rulers himself is a kafir. And that's why they killed them. Because they abused the texts. This is a very important matter to remember, so that we don't be carried away by emotions. We understand our deen correctly. Following the mushrik is of two types. Following him with conviction and with knowledge, making the halal haram and the haram halal. This takes the person out of Islam. And the other is a lesser following. If it is due to fear, due to weakness, lowly desire, etc. Then the author, rahimahullah, went to talk about the types of taghut. And he said the taghut or the tawaghit are many. And now from the definition of taghut, that of Imam Ibn Qayyim, the most comprehensive definition, you know, and it's obvious, that it does not necessarily mean that every taghut is kufr. No, not necessarily. There are of the taghut that which is kufr and that which is lesser. Because also this is another misconception by the youth of our times. They misunderstand the meaning of taghut. And their direction of the taghut takes them zoom into the rulers. And automatically they declare them kafirs. Label them as taghuts. And then take them out of Islam. And people who hear the term taghut, many to them, it like automatically comes to mind that this means kufr. No. In fact, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah described those who transgressed the limits concerning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of figurative interpretations and so forth, he considered them as taghut. But no one generalizes that everyone who makes a figurative interpretation of the names of Allah, that he is a taghut, meaning kafir taghut. No one. So, try to understand this very carefully, lest you fall in error, knowingly or unknowingly. So the author, rahimahullah, then went on to speak about the types of taghut. And he said, وَالطَّوَاغِيْتُ كَثِيرًا. And the taghuts are many, and their heads are five. And their heads are five. Meaning the taghut upon whom the definition applies, which we mentioned earlier. What is the definition? Anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed, or followed, as detailed. The first head, and there are five heads, is Iblis. Iblis. May Allah's curse be upon him. Iblis is the outcast and the accursed Satan to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Sad 38:78, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Allah cursed. He is the outcast and the cursed Satan. Iblis was with the angels. And verily my curse is on you till the day of recompense. Yes. Iblis was with the angels in their company and performing their actions. Then when he was commanded to prostrate to Adam, he disdained and became haughty. And he refused. And so he became of the unbelievers. Listen to what I said. Iblis was with the angels. With the angels. In their company. And performing their actions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried him with this command of prostration. He disdained, became haughty, false pride. That took him into kufr. So he was cast out of the mercy of Allah. Cast out. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:34. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, and they prostrated except Iblis, he refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers. He became disdainful. He said, as in Surah Sad, verse 76 قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. So anyone who uses this kind of disdainful analogy, then Iblis is his imam. Iblis is his imam. Because he resorted to this. I am better than he. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. So he disdained the command of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casted him out of from his mercy. He is the head of Ta'ut. Because he is the one who commands to worship other than Allah. And he is the one who commands to follow other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the one who commands to obey other than Allah through tahleel and tahreem. So Iblis is the source of evil and the head of Ta'ut. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned the second one, the second head. Who is the second head? He said, whoever is worshipped and pleased and is pleased with that. Meaning he is worshipped besides Allah and he is pleased that he should be worshipped besides Allah. Then he is one of the heads of Ta'uts. We seek refuge in Allah from this. And it is the same whether he is worshipped in his lifetime or after his death. If he dies whilst having been pleased with that. So, this takes out whom? This takes out whom? This takes out the one who is worshipped whilst not pleased with that. So he is not included to be a ta'ut. Why? Because Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, yes, was worshipped besides Allah, but he was not pleased with that. To the contrary, his mother, Ummu, and Uzair, and the righteous awliya, they are not pleased with that to be worshipped. Rather, they refused and denied that, and they repelled it. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:98, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمَ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ. Certainly you and that which you are worshipping now besides Allah are but fuel for hell. Surely you will enter it. The mushriks became pleased. The mushriks became pleased with that. And they said, we worship Al-Masih, the Messiah, and we worship, they will be with us in hell. So they concluded that they will be with them in hell. So Allah revealed in the same surah 101 to 102, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Verily those for whom the good has preceded from us, they will be removed far therefrom from hell. Isa, son of Maryam, Uzair, etc. They shall not hear the slightest sound of it, hell, while they abide in that which their own selves desire. Alhamdulillah. And in other verses, as in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43:58, قال الله تعالى about them, وقالوا أآلهتنا خير أم هو. And they say, are our آلهة gods better, or is he who? عيسى عليه السلام. ثم قال, then he said, ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا بل هم قوم خصمون. They quoted not the above example about Isa except for argument. Nay, but they are quarrelsome people. Then Allah answered in the next verse 59 of the same surah, إن هو إلا عبد أنعمنا عليه وجعلناه مثلا لبني إسرائيل. He, Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, was not more than a slave. We granted our favor to him and we made him an example to the children of Israel, meaning his creation without a father. So he is a slave of Allah. And he does not accept, nor he is pleased to be worshipped besides Allah. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to deny that. As in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5, 117. This is clearly stated. ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به أن أعبد الله ربي وربكم. Never did I say to them aught except what you, Allah, did command me to say. Worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. So the one who is worshipped while not pleased with that is not included in this threat. Nor is he considered as a taghut, because he denies that. The third head of the taghuts is من دعا الناس إلى عبادتي نفسه. Whoever calls the people to the worship of himself. Meaning whoever calls the people to worship him, even if they don't do so. Even if they don't do so. He is one of the heads of taghuts then. Whether the people respond to his call or not. Remember. Whether the people respond to his call or not. Like the heads of the mushriks. Those who invite people to worship them in person. Like Fir'aun. As in Surah An-Nazi'at 79:24, what did he say? فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He's saying, I am your Lord, Most High. Like the Namrud, and like the excessive Sufis and mystics who call people to their worship. In fact, they recommend people to worship them after they die. And so the one of them says, if matters become tough on you, then come to my grave. Invite people to come to their graves. And they promise them that they will provide for them and suffice them their needs. So whoever calls people to worship him, dead or alive, then he is from the head of Tawuts. Meaning while he is alive and after his death, but he made it before he died. Similarly, anyone who invites the people to the worship of others from the Tawuts, the callers for shirk, they are Tawuts. Those who beautify shirk for people, and they give it names other than the name of shirk. Tricky names. They say this is tawassul. This is tawassul. Or they come and tell people this is a form of intercession. And or those who make of mysticism a science of Islam. A science of Islam. Mysticism, science of Islam, using names to beautify matters. These are taghuts, because they went beyond the bounds, beyond the limits, because they invite people to shirk, ascribing partners with Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah. They beautify matters through shubuhat. Through shubuhat. Misconceptions. Ambiguities. And they have soft and nice tongues. Magic-like. These are taghuts. Calling people for shirk. The fourth type, the fourth head, وقال رحمه الله ومن ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب, and whoever claims to possess anything from the knowledge of the affairs of the hidden and the unseen, then he is head of طاغوت. What is الغيب? الغيب is whatever is hidden and unseen by man. Unperceived realities, unseen. And it is of two types. That which exists at present, and that which lies in the future. What is hidden and unseen in the present is a relative matter, nisbi. Something may be known to one person and unknown to other. However, the hidden and unseen of the future is something absolute and not known to anyone except Allah alone or to a messenger granted such knowledge by Allah. So whoever claims such knowledge is an unbeliever, for he has denied what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, as in Surah An-Naml 27:65, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. None in the heavens and the earth knows the ghayb, the unseen, the hidden, except Allah, nor can they perceive when they shall be resurrected. So, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to announce to all that none in the heavens or the earth know the hidden and the unseen, and that Allah alone knows that, then whoever claims knowledge of the hidden and the unseen has rejected what Allah and His Messenger said. Included in this are as-sahara, magicians. Al-Kohan, soothsayers and the like. Anyone who claims that they know the hidden and the unseen and say to people, such and such will occur to you. You will have happiness. You will have misery. You will be so happy in the marriage of this woman. Or you will divorce her from the first look, from the first night. These people claim the hidden and the unseen. And this is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except for the exception which He subhanahu wa ta'ala may make known to a messenger. As He stated in Surah Al-Jinn 72. 26-27. عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من رسول. He alone, the all knower of the غيب, the unseen and the hidden, he reveals to none his غيب except to a messenger from mankind whom he has chosen. He may inform him of the unseen. Remember, of the unseen. So this is restricted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the limited sense to whom He subhanahu wa ta'ala may give to a messenger because of a benefit to mankind and as a miracle to a messenger. But it is not from the self of the messenger that he knows the unseen. Rather, his knowledge is from what Allah made him know. Remember, this is important. And this is what is asserted by the Prophet ﷺ as in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 50. قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُحَى إِلَيَّ. Say, I don't tell you that with me are the treasures of Allah, nor that I know the unseen, nor I tell you that I am an angel. I but follow what is revealed to me by inspiration. Now someone says, well, the Prophet ﷺ knew something of the unseen. We say, yes, Allah informed him about certain things of the unseen. But the absolute unseen, no. He ﷺ does not know the absolute unseen. He knows from the unseen what Allah informed him. And this is in accordance with all the verses mentioned earlier. So anyone who claims the knowledge of the unseen, then he is a mushrik. Mushrik ascribing to himself something particular to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he is a mushrik and a taghut, transgressing the limits, and a kafir and disbeliever. And this is from the greatest apostasy from Islam. The fifth ta'ud, من حكم بغير ما أنزل الله. Whoever judges by other than what Allah has sent. قال الله تعالى ومن يحكم ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. Whoever rules by a rule other than the rule of Allah, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah, then they are the كافرون. Whoever does not judge by what Allah has sent down, then they are the ones guilty of disbelief. The interpreter of the Quran, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, made it clear that this applies, that this verse, the kufr, the disbelief in this verse, is of the lesser kufr, as long as the person committing this does not disdain nor negate the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from Ibn Abbas with authentic chain of narration. And it was taken from Ibn Abbas also by more than one of his students in authentically related reports. However, whoever makes it permissible to rule by a rule other than the rule of Allah in one single judgment and believes it to be permissible, then this takes him out of Islam. And whoever believes that the rule of Allah is not fit for contemporary times, even in one single judgment, then this takes him out of the fold of Islam. And whoever believes that the rule of Allah and the rule of man are equal, then this takes him out of the fold of Islam. And whoever believes that the rule of man is better than the rule of Allah, then by all means, this takes him out of the fold of Islam. And whoever believes that the rule of Allah is better and is best than is the best rule and most perfect, but he rules by other than the rule of Allah due to weakness or wrong ijtihad or fear, then this does not take him out of the fold of Islam. And therefore, we must differentiate and detail matters and not rush into conclusions of wrong judgments of takfir on people and or rulers and generalize that without wisdom, and should make knowledge to be our criteria, not emotions, to be driven by them into wrong conclusions and leading the ummah into confrontations and bloodshed, as it is happening in many Muslim countries. And unfortunately, many Muslim groups are not learning their mistakes. They commit them one after the other, and they don't learn. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make of this a benefit for myself and for every one of you and for everyone to whom it reaches. والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.